Hey guys, so next week we're going to do our Elden Ring episode, so we don't want to just, like, you know, say all that this week. I know it's what we're all playing, but before we start, do you have anything to talk about that's not Elden Ring?
Let's see.
I'm thinking myself here.
Last week I was I forget if it was like a game studio or like a game store that I was visiting. But there were these two women who were like dried out husks, and they were selling like armor and like blacksmithing stones.
Heather, that's in Elden Ring.
I know what you're talking about.
They're at the round table.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that as a retro game store or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. So no, not that then.
I thought of something.
Yeah.
I was just sort of riding around on my my horse, and I noticed there was this guy who was like upside down, like stuck in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up and I whacked him from behind with my sword, and he came out. Turned out he was a jar. He was like creature.
No.
We should have known right away, actually, but no.
Yeah. Nick, that's Elden Ring.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, that was Elden Ring.
Oh, wait. Maybe this is maybe not like an intro, but maybe this is like a funny story that you guys would like to hear.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I was out in the world the other day minding my own business, and this guy, this like real jerk, started talking to me, and he called me maidenless.
Well, that could happened in the real world, but I think that was Elden Ring.
I think that's probably only something you'd hear in the world. Was the person talking to you like a man, or was it like, you know, a skeleton that was dressed up like a cardinal from the Catholic Church?
Well, it was a skeleton, man.
Okay, well, yeah, that was Elden Ring.
Okay. Shoot.
Oh, Mary got me a new piece of jewelry. It's an Elden Ring. Ah, fuck, no. Okay, that was in the game. That was in the game. That was in the game.
Congrats, though.
Thank you.
You're the Elden Lord now, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking sick.
We save the planet through video game patterns, and fuck Qbert and his fucking nose this week on Get Played. To Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to Get Played! I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
That's me, Nick Weiger, and I'm here with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back, Mary Laws.
Wow.
Our guest today.
It's pretty good.
Writer, producer from Succession, Preacher, and Monsterland. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, well, I am very busy and important, so you're welcome.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, that's why we're laughing. We feel bad.
Yeah.
If
you feel bad now, you wait until you think about the 2 hours we took from her life.
Yeah,
this week's topic.
The whole thing.
Well, let's slow down a little bit.
Okay.
I am just this is always the situation with recording, because the two of you cohabitate, and that we. That you're recording, you're like in the same domicile, but you're in separate spaces for audio reasons. That's just like, how often does that happen? I guess
that
it probably happens.
We're in separate spaces?
Yeah, but you're in direct communication.
You mean like, does she call me when I'm in the fucking pit of the garage? And
yes, that's what I'm asking.
I do, actually, because I'm Yeah, I constantly call because I'm too lazy to walk out there sometimes. And I'm just like, oh, honey, can you find the remote? she'll come inside and then find it.
Is this shocking to you, Nick, because your wife doesn't speak to you?
Yeah, we're just... things are on a need-to-know basis around the Weiger household. It's I think we don't have a garage is the thing. Mm-hmm. We have like and Matt, I think you have a similar living situation where it's one apartment, so yes. You know, everything's within shouting distance. Mm-hmm. So there'll be some shouting, but not necessarily a proper phone call at home.
Nowhere for me to hide.
Tell me about it. So right now, Heather's been playing Elden Ring a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, let's just get into it, because that's also what you and I have been playing, Matt. And mm-hmm. I know what Mary's been playing. But for the sake of our listeners, what are you playing?
Wait. Uh-oh, here we go.
Excuse me? Do you know who the fuck I am? Do you know who the fuck I am?
You come in here about once an
episode. I have one job.
I know, but I kind of
took it from me.
I usually tee it up by saying it and then you repeat it. So, you know,
wait, you just say it and I repeat it? You think that's my job? I'm just a fucking parrot?
I don't know. I'm not saying you're parrot. I'm saying that that's just my way of tossing you the alley-oop, is I'll say it my normal cadence and then you'll say it in your unique cadence.
Will you check your phone? I think you got a phone call.
Okay, hold on. It's from my wife. She says, your podcast sucks. She can only hear my audio, too, so.
Well, now I feel bad. I don't think the podcast sucks.
Oh, God bless you.
I'd like to know. What are you playing?
Mary, let's start with you.
Well, I am not a constant gamer, mm-hmm. as we all know, but...
great movie.
Heather loved Disco Elysium so much, mm-hmm. and couldn't stop talking about it. And in fact, I think told me that she spent all of an entire session of her therapy one day talking about Disco Elysium. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I need to try it. And so, I've been playing it on the Switch, and I'm probably 25 hours in.
Wow.
Or something like that. I fucking love it.
Wow.
It's so good.
Hell yeah.
It's so good. It's, I even bought a copy for a friend of mine, my friend Brad, who loves playing games on the Switch. Mm-hmm. I just find
it
Brad so
Pitt?
Profound. Brad.
It is. Wow.
Wow.
He
awesome.
Loves the Switch.
That's awesome. That fucking rocks.
That's really cool. He loves that and Marin. Yeah. Marin on IFC.
Yeah. No, my friend Brad Harris, he loves the Switch. I find it so like moving, mm-hmm. and like have even I've been screenshotting like moments that I think are so beautiful, and like the writing and the storytelling, like moments that really surprised me, and I decided to play it as much myself as I could. I know Heather, you played it as sort of like a fascist asshole. So we've had really different gaming experiences. Like, what's the kid's name, Heather? Like Kuno?
Kuno.
I had this like really heartfelt conversation with, and Heather, I feel like you were kind of watching over my shoulder, and you were like, "Yeah, I just like punched that kid or something." But yeah, I've been trying to play it as myself, and so I didn't give my character very much physical strength or agility. I put it all in like EQ and IQ, but it's been really kind of profound to watch my character be forced to change as I'm put in situations where I have to level up certain parts of my personality that I didn't intend to. And I was telling Heather the other day, like, I'm far enough in where I feel a sort of longing for the person I was at the very beginning of the game, that my character was at the very beginning of the game, because he's like not making choices in the same, like, sort of, he was like a big empath and lots of imagination, and he loved art. There was even this moment in the game where, like, he wanted to paint a mural on a wall, and so I had to go find paints and things and paint this mural on the wall because he loved art so much. And now he's like knocking down doors more, and like, you know, I don't know. So it's just really profound, and I feel like I've been, you know, reflecting just generally on life and the way, like, you make all of these choices. And also just the breadth of the game is incredible. Like, this, I mean, Heather, how many words did you say it was?
It's, I think, 1.6 million words or something like that.
I thought it was Disco more Elysium. Even. In Disco Elysium? I don't know. Yeah. It's just, I've never played a game like it before. And I, you know, it is kind of like a choose your own adventure style game, but it is so vast that,
yeah
Heather, like when we've been like, I'll kind of like play it for a little while before bed, and you'll watch over my shoulder, and you were just like, wow, we had like such different experiences. So, totally. I love it. It's incredible.
That's rad. I'm so glad you're responding to it, because I came to really, really love it. I played through it twice. Once as a thinker who is a little bit more agile, and then I just whatever the thinker archetype is. That I think that's how his stats are split. And then one I created where I just changed the category. So I was just like a big brute who was also like had a lot of personality, not a lot of intellect or agility. And it was really fun to just to see the difference between, you know, what type of asshole I was in each of them. But the mural thing made me think of one moment I had in my first playthrough, which is that when I went to paint the mural, the mural that my character painted was "fuck the police,"
and then your
partner Kim is like, "Why did you paint that? We're the police." And my guy responded like, "Oh no. Oh, why did I do that?"
I do like the questions where it's like, you know, because your character is supposed to have amnesia or whatever, drank himself into a amnesiac state. Is it? I don't know if that's a word, but I like the questions where you're like, your character is like, "Wait, so what is communism?" Or "Wait a second, so what are we as the police?" So those kinds of questions are pretty funny. But I don't know, there's moments that the writing is just so incredible too. And you know, I do hope that someone will adapt it into a film or a series or something, because I feel like it would make such a wonderful, you know, adaptation, because the world is so huge.
There's such a there supposedly is an Amazon show being developed on the property. I really wonder what direction they're going to take, because there's a version you make of it where you just make the game as a limited series, but also the world is like, the world building is so intricate, and you know, part of why I think while it feels so expansive, despite being such a compact play area, it's really just like four areas you're going to geographically, you know, it's and some interiors, is it's just like, it's so dense. It's so densely packed with lore and detail and characterization. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is like a version of this that exists within that Elysium world that's just a completely different story. But we'll see. That's probably not what they'll do.
Yeah. Not having finished the game, I'm not sure how you would adapt it. But I feel like there's a lot of possibility. And, you know, I just like it makes me think of Clue the movie. You know how Clue the movie had different endings that were released in different like parts of the country? I feel like that would be a really cool way to adapt the game. But anyway, I'm loving it, and I feel like it's a video game for non-gamers too, because mm-hmm. I feel like it's really easy to, you know, there's no skill necessarily involved. Like, you don't have to fight, or there's no battles or anything like that. So I think that's also why it appeals to me, because it's just a text-based game, and but it doesn't get boring, you know.
No.
It's full, so many discoveries. So
yeah, it's so gripping. You said it's like nothing you played before, or something like that. And I agree, because I've played like isometric RPGs like that are like this, that are, you know, the similar POV and the similar, you know, large reams of text and a lot of interactions. But just like the way this one is constructed and the way this one plays, it just feels completely different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you're having a ball with it.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I really can't put it down.
Well, hey, speaking of things we can't put down, let's talk Elden Ring a little bit. So next week, Matt is cackling. Next week, we are going to be doing our We Play, You Play about Elden Ring, a full episode about this game that just came out and is dominating all of our lives, with our guest Jordan Morris. So that'll be a lot of fun. One of the biggest Souls heads we know. He'll be hopping in with us. We're going to be talking about Elden Ring in depth. Right now, let's just touch on it, because we don't want to blow our wad, so to speak.
Parsing your words.
Yes, yeah. Want to use a euphemism there.
What are you shooting?
Do you remember, like, Senator Orrin Hatch said, like, blow your wad or shoot your wad in, like, some Senate hearing? And then everyone was like, why did you say that? And he's like, it's an old-timey expression about a gunpowder or something. It's like, what? Come on, dude.
No.
Anyway. Elden Ring, I can't, you know, I just keep wanting to play it. I'm not as deep as either of you are. I'm closing in on 20 hours, so I'm just kind of, you know, dipping my toe in the water, really, with how dense and massive this game is. But I am really loving it. The one thing I'll touch on, my little talking point will be, we did a main theme episode. We did now that's what I call video game music, and we talked main themes, main title themes. This main title theme is a banger. I'm happy to hear it every time I boot the game up. Let's play a little bit of the Elden Ring title theme. Okay, just kind of settling in here. Sure. Yeah. Sure, this seems peaceful. A little ominous, but everything seems okay. Whoa, wait, what?
Surprise, you're fucked. Welcome to hell, bitch.
So great. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I just, it gets me so fucking hyped every time I hear it.
It's so good.
Really good. Matt, you got anything you want to touch on Elden Ring wise?
I mean, we'll talk at length about this, but I don't think a game in recent memory has hooked its claws so deeply within me. I think I have dreams about Elden Ring. That doesn't happen with...
Whoa!
I've been having dreams about Elden Ring.
Hot ones?
Yeah, just like the hottest, craziest dreams. It's like you wouldn't believe it.
Well,
you're worth 1,000
no
rooms,
life,
slice.
But I must suck!
yes, and you know, I'm the Elden Lord, so it's like, right. it's like you're doing
nice.
That's good. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been having like, just, I don't know, I dream of the UI. Like, mm-hmm. The UI is present in dreams when I'm not in, like, in the lands between two. Like, it's just there. Like, everything I'm thinking about is Elden Ring related recently.
How many hours are you in at this point?
Man, what an embarrassing question. I'm about like 60 hours in.
Wow!
Which is not...
That's awesome.
I was saying this to some buddies the other day. I've had Pokemon Legends Arceus for longer. Mm-hmm. And I've put the same amount of hours into that and Elden Ring.
Yeah, 100%. I put 20 hours into this in a hurry.
Yeah, just like
I started playing it a little bit later because I was replaying Disco Elysium. Yeah. And yeah, just fucking 8 hour session.
Like a hot knife to butter. Just burning through it.
Yes.
And I'm just like bouncing around right now because I've taken down a few bosses as of right now. I'm going to try my damnedest to like roll credits before we record it next week. I don't know if it's going to, if I'm going to do it. But I'm just bouncing around and like still finding things. We were talking about this in the text chain a little bit, and this is probably a larger conversation as well. But I said that we were saying that the bigness of the game is like upsetting and like depressing.
It really is. Yes.
Like it doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel as small as I do on Earth.
100%
playing this game.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
You're not like, small. You're very important.
I know. I'm very big and strong. but it, like, just like, I there's not, I don't know. It's maybe the game of a lifetime. Like, it's truly remarkable.
Wow.
You know, we've set up the Get Played private, you know, multiplayer server.
Mm-hmm.
With Get Play as the main password and the, and also the messages password.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two passwords and they're both Get Play, lowercase. And today while playing, somebody in our group became the Elden Lord.
Wow.
Wow. You get a notification?
You get notification at the bottom. That's like
sick.
Somebody beat the souls or the fucking ring bearer. I don't know what
the shard bearer.
Shard bearer. But across the bottom of my screen was somebody in the group became the Elden Lord. And I was like, holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of you, listener, whoever you were.
I'm proud of you, too.
I think you could be doing some other things, but I'm also like, it's very cool. Congrats.
Whoa. Slam. You just lost the listener.
Me doing the same thing as them. Like, yeah.
I've only played around 20 hours also just because of the amount of time that I have to be able to play the game. And I rectified a problem today while playing that blew my mind, which is that I have been using the same +1 sword for all 20 hours, felled several bosses with it. And I'm like, God, this game is fucking hard. Like it takes a million hits with my fucking, when am I gonna get some way to level up this sword? But then I checked my inventory and I had like all the high level stones.
Mm-hmm.
For like the smithing stones, and every time I check in with the blacksmith, he's like, "You don't have any stones," or whatever the fuck he says. You know, yeah, I guess that's in my head. He doesn't actually say anything except like his fucking pre-record. Anyway,
hello, tarnished.
Yeah,
hello, tarnished. Would ye like your sword?
And so I went back to the starting area. And there is like an introductory cave that I just missed. And so I went through the cave, one-shotted everything, slayed the boss in that cave, walked out with enough smithing stones to then level up my sword to a +9.
Yeah.
Because it's wild. All the other ones from later in the game.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so now I'm like one-shotting minotaurs and like...
Wow.
I'm doing everything out of order. I'm in areas where I'm not supposed to be, and mm-hmm. I'll snipe at something and then drag it out into a clearing, ride my horse around it for 20 minutes to kill it, and then kill it. But I don't know. I think, and we'll get into this more. I think I like regular Souls level design more than Elden Ring.
Interesting.
Because everything felt more purposeful in Souls games, whereas in this it's just chaos. Giant chaos.
It's hearing that you guys have only put 20 hours in, I'm like now starting to put together why my girlfriend's mad at me.
Ha 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 ha
Anyway, yeah, we'll talk about Elden Ring in more depth next week. But right now, we have something we must discuss.
Oh, my God.
You know, last week on the podcast, we mentioned a few times, I don't remember what brought it up, but the film Pixels. And we decided, hey, let's do a whole episode about that for some reason.
Yeah.
Would we call it a film?
I'd call it a film.
Yeah.
This is The Game Was Better, Pixels. We're discussing the film directed by Chris Columbus, released in 2015, an $88 million budget, and it's all up on screen, a worldwide gross of $244 million. Did not do great in the U.S., but did pretty well worldwide. Had anyone seen this movie before? Because I saw it by myself in theaters.
Oh, no.
When it came out.
No.
You did?
I did, yeah. I did.
Were
you the only person in there?
I think I was sitting next to a family, so I was the...
Was it Adam Sandler's family?
It was Sandler's family, yeah. They're all in the movie.
Also, why did you go sit directly next to the family, Nick, if they were the only other people in the theater? Yeah.
Nick's all like, can I have some of your popcorn?
Sits down.
I brought beans from home.
Sits down, keeps, as the movie's happening, keeps whispering to the mom, did this really happen?
Couldn't get an answer. So it's an Adam Sandler movie. It's a Happy Madison movie. And as such, we're seeing all the Happy Madison stalwarts, although there's some new additions. You know, there's some it's not like Dinklage and Gad are necessarily showing up in Grown Ups 2. Kevin James, obviously, in this and. As he is in a lot of these Sandler movies. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to begin with this discussion. I guess so I'm the only one who watched this for a second time.
Yeah. Yeah, you watched it for a second time. I was thinking maybe we should say where we're at with Sandler and Sandler movies. Maybe that's a start, right?
Great.
I'll say I fucking love The Sandman, okay? I think I like a lot of his movies all the way up through maybe 50 First Dates was like maybe where I fell off. Like I liked mm-hmm. that one when I saw it. I watched it since and maybe you think like, oh yikes, that gets maybe a little didn't age great. But I still love him. I loved Hubie Halloween as a more recent one. I loved Hubie Halloween. Like
Hubie
I laughed
Halloween
my ass off watching
Hubie
Halloween.
That made me laugh a lot.
And you know, I like when he goes serious, like Uncut Gems is really great. He's like I think he's a good actor and I think he's interesting.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. But like for me in this was not a good Sandler in my opinion.
I'm also on board with The Sandman.
Yeah.
I think Billy Madison is a good movie, but I think Happy Gilmore is an incredible movie. Mm-hmm. That being said, haven't seen it since I was a kid, but still like excellent. There is a tone to Sandler movies that I think his writer, watching Pixels, I kept thinking his writers did a pass on this after it had been written as a straightforward action movie. Mm-hmm. Because there are Sandler-esque touches throughout Pixels that feel like they don't belong in a movie of this like scope. For example, when he is driving his truck and the guy from his childhood pops up in the back of the truck and is like, hey, man. And Sandler backhands him and he flies out of a moving vehicle onto the street.
Yeah, right.
It's like graphically violent for no reason. It felt like there were like moments like that throughout Pixels. And I wish it had been more of a Sandler movie than splitting the difference the way it felt like it did.
Mm hmm.
I'm looking at the credits for, you know, Tim Hurley, who's also in the movie and you know, longtime Sandler collaborator, who is the main screen credit on this one. He wrote Hubie Halloween among and a lot of Sandler movies.
So the man can get lightning in a bottle. Like he can do it.
Right. And Timothy Dowling also credited, and I don't know if they work together, but his credits are a little bit more a little bit more down the middle action sci-fi and that sort of world, it seems to be. So so Heather's theory may be correct. It may be that this started off as a little bit more of a little bit less of a Sandler and got retrofitted into being a Sandler once he got attached. I like the Sandman. I'm a big Sandler fan. Yeah, give me some Sandler. Sure. And I even think some of his lazier, more recent Netflix movies are still like have some fun stuff in them, you know?
I like the do-over and I like the mystery, murder mystery.
What's the one with the one where he plays the talent agents? It's got another name title.
Oh, Sandy Wexler.
Sandy Wexler made me laugh. Can like, I? Wexler's got
Heather,
some good jokes in it.
Is that the one that you love that one sequence from?
No, you're thinking of. I know what you're thinking of. It's Jack and Jill with Dunkachino. Yeah. That's what you're thinking.
Dunkachino.
Great sequence.
Yeah,
that's really good.
I have a. Yeah.
Can we just play that now? Just put that in the podcast?
Yeah, let's play it.
We live in a just world because you can just type in Dunkachino and it's the first thing that comes up.
As it should.
Yeah. What? Here we go.
Yes.
Something's brewing at D&D.
Dunkachino!
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
What's my name? Dunkachino.
It's a whole new game. Dunkachino.
Dunkachino.
You want creepy goodness? I'm your friend. Say hello to my chocolate blend. This whole trial is out of sight. They put me back in with hazelnut too. Caramel swirl. I know it was you.
He's dancing.
He's good.
So good.
Pino, lining up for my Dunkachino.
Best what's thing Pacino's name? Ever done.
Dunkachino. Oh yeah.
He's so committed.
Incredible. Like just great.
So
I want to know what Mary thinks of the Sandman, but I have a Sandy Wexler anecdote.
Okay.
I'm in Sandy Wexler.
You're Wait, in what? Sandy Wexler?
I'm in the crowd in cuz they shot it at the Improv, at the Hollywood Improv over on Melrose.
Oh right.
And I used to work there. And so they shut the club down for like 2 days. And they had all of us come like be in it. So I'm in the background in one of the scenes like at the club. And it
Are
was
you
like
visible?
You can see me. I'm in the trailer. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe I'll get a screen cap and I'll send it to you guys.
Amazing.
But Sandler was cool, and he has a crazy laugh in that movie, we were there, and he was doing the laugh, and I was like, this is the laugh? It's like crazy. It's like, it's a really crazy thing to hear in person, we just got to hang with Colin Quinn all day, because we were like in the crowd, and like Colin Quinn was like doing stand-up, and he just wanted to talk to us, because we worked there, and it was a great, great day. It was very, very fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow. But anyway, that's my cool. Sandy Wexler anecdote. Check me out on Sandy Wexler. and so, yeah, Mary, where are you at with the Sandman?
I really like him. I don't have like a much of a relationship with his movies, except that we used to watch them on church trips when I was young. Like when we would be on
church
like bus
trips.
Yeah, it was like one of the sort of I guess Jesus approved movies to watch were Adam Sandler movies. So they would just
Not
always
Mickey.
Be. I feel like we did watch Little Nicky on a church
wow.
trip.
Gandalf.
I don't know. Look, evangelicals are kind of messed up, but yeah. That's for another podcast. so I don't know. I don't have a lot of. A big like relationship to his body of work, but what I do know I think is really good. And Heather, what was the trip we went on where we just listened to his album all the way home?
Yeah, we listened to his most recent album on a trip, on a road trip we took together.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, you've got to hear Keys Wallet Phone. It's a pretty good song. Mm-hmm. And then we ended
and
up
we
I think,
sing that
yeah.
around the house a lot. A lot now, although now we've turned it into keys, wallet, phone, mask. Keys, wallet, phone, mask.
That special is good. It's a really funny, good special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Farley really song is oh, God. Oh. What a it's sledgehammer.
Really good. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He does that well. He does sincerity well.
Yeah, he does. I think that's why he's a good dramatic actor, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but so I don't have a lot like a great relationship with his work, but I like him. I think he's very really talented.
Let's keep going with the cast members. How does everyone feel about Kevin James?
You mean the president of the United States?
I love Kevin James. I really really like sitcoms, and I have probably seen almost every episode of King of Queens.
Yeah.
What are your favorite sitcoms of all time?
Most recently I really love Mom, the sitcom Mom.
Mom. Oh wow.
With Allison Janney. I love it so much that I even went to a taping of the sitcom, and I just think it's so funny, and it's a very female-centric sitcom too, which you don't get a lot of. So it's not like, you know, the kind of like schlubby guy with like the really hot wife who's like sure. kind of a nag, which seems to be like the sitcom-y trope. Mm-hmm. But Mom is like about all of these women who are in AA, and it's really funny. And wow. and Allison Janney is, you know, perfect. So yeah. I love Mom, but I love Kevin James. I like King of Queens a lot.
this is a choice I remember when the movie came out. And yes, as Matt said, the Adam Sandler's character Brenner and Kevin James's character Will are childhood friends, and then when they grow up, 30 or 40 years lapse, however much time is supposed to pass, and Adam Sandler works at a Geek Squad equivalent, and Kevin James is the president of the United States, and they're still close.
Yeah.
So it's like a big choice. And I remember that was a thing when people, when the movie came out, they're like, he's the president, to like say like that, like this movie's ridiculous. But I remember saying like, it is a comedic choice. Yeah. It is meant to be like a joke that this
it
guy.
Was, it
this,
was a hard you know, laugh for me. Like
it was really
made me
laugh.
Funny.
Yeah.
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 It's yeah. Like, well, I got to go be president of the United States. I was like, that's fucking funny.
I just like, you know, you lose touch with friends, like childhood friends over the years. But this guy's sure. like, no, I need to stay friends with this guy, even though I'm becoming the president of the United States. Like, he was probably the mayor at some point, maybe a senator, a governor, maybe.
Yeah.
And then like, he was like, no, I'm going to be the president.
Still have one-on-one meals with this guy.
Yeah, and he's the president consult. After Barack Obama, because Obama is mentioned in the movie.
Obama
later.
Exists in the movie. Yeah.
So Obama got like one term, and then yeah. Kevin James got to be the president.
In the logic of this world, yes. Yeah. Unless it's set in the future, because this came out in 2015,
oh,
yeah, he would have had
yeah.
to defeat Obama.
Yeah.
Which is so he's Mitt Romney in this world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the cast is unbelievable. It's just I can't. They got Peter Dinklage, they got Gad, Michelle Monaghan, who's great.
Mm-hmm.
But then the supporting roles, like Brian Cox is in this
yeah.
acting the shit out of this, just
yeah.
acting his ass off, playing an admiral. He's so good. And I'm just like, what is this? What is happening? How much
Sean
money
Bean?
Did you have to get Sean Bean and Brian Cox just fully committed
yeah.
in this broad comedy where they're fighting against Galaga?
Yeah. Like, and like,
I mean, it
yeah.
must have been like the last thing that Brian Cox did right before Succession, too. I bet mm-hmm. he did Pixels, and then he moved right on to Succession.
Yeah, then he was
big,
like, fuck off,
big
and they went over
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Similar characters, honestly.
Yeah. Jane Krakowski, too, is in this and has, like, four lines.
I know,
just like, man.
So underutilized.
Yeah.
I love Jane Krakowski.
She's
so
good.
Talented. And
one
I
of
was
two
like,
women in the movie.
Yeah. I was like, what? She must have had like scenes at some point that got cut or something.
Must have been,
I was like
yeah.
waiting
yeah.
for her to have like a fucking like song or something. She's so great.
And
yeah,
the,
she's the first lady.
the scene that she's in, yeah, because she's married to Kevin James. The scene that she's in, they're both behaving unbelievably. Like, she's like tickling him, and he's like, like he's me.
Yeah, they've shut down a cake. It's like a private date for the two of them at like a make your own cake shop.
Yeah,
and yeah, they're both just like it's on edge. I don't know. So here's what I'll say. Because I don't think we need to necessarily go through this scene by scene or anything. But
before we move away from cast, I also want to say Dinklage is phenomenal.
Yeah,
he's
in
great.
This movie. Like you watch him make like six acting choices in the span of a single sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he is so believable that some of the comedy lines don't work because you believe he means them.
Right.
I have a confession to make, which is that I was extremely drunk when we watched this last night.
Okay. Good to know.
Which is, you know, sorry, Mom. I kept saying, I think on repeat, that I thought Peter Dinklage was like so hot in this movie. But also I feel like I was like, why is he not as big as Brad Pitt? Like he is like phenomenal.
He's a very good, like charismatic, yeah. Like he should be a movie star. Like he's very good.
Yes. He's so talented. And
yeah.
Apparently, Drunk Mary thinks he's so handsome.
he's good in this.
She
he's
did
like
say
this,
it a lot. She said
like
it
a lot.
Yeah,
a lot. You're like, enough okay. that even as a drunk person, I was like, "Is this bothering you?" And then he would come on screen again, and I would be like, "Fuck, that guy's so hot."
He's definitely got a look in this, and yeah. It's very. I think it's very clearly Billy Mitchell inspired, like,
yeah.
Because you know it comes down to Donkey Kong and he's cheating in the video games and like the championship game he played against Adam Sandler, they beat him as kids, was Donkey Kong. So it's like this is so clearly like at some point he's like, well, we should make a fictional version of King of Kong and then also add this other shit. But yeah, he's great. He's a great sort of pseudo villain. Gad, I think, is good. Gad, you know, can be hit or miss, but he's good in this. He's hitting in this. And it's also like Dan Aykroyd's in this. Clearly he had a deal. He had a handshake agreement where they were going to do a Crystal Skull vodka on camera. Cause that's there's a very prominent Crystal Skull bottle in a bar scene they go to.
Yeah,
they do. Also some of the supporting cast, like Avion Crockett, who plays this sergeant who gets abducted. And he just like keeps talking like I think he's got some really funny lines in this. And then also Dennis Akiyama plays Toru Iwatani, who's the creator of Pac-Man. And I think he's really funny. Like he's got some he's got a really good scene where he's talking to Pac-Man. He's like, he is my son. I'm just gonna have a moment with him. It's really good. That's also the real guy's name.
Oh wow. Yeah. I had a take about Gad. And so I don't think Gad was bad in the movie. I think just because he's probably like 10 years younger than everybody in the, than Sandler and like, than Kevin James.
They try to have him be a little younger in that flashback scene where he's like, he's the wonder kid. They try to make the age make sense, but it doesn't quite line up.
But so my theory is that they wanted like Jack Black or something. And then they couldn't get Jack Black because he's like closer to in age. But maybe that's too much star power for one movie. Because if Jack Black was in this, this would be my favorite movie of all time. Like, this would be the funniest movie ever made to me. But I think they maybe couldn't get him. And I tried to look this up and I couldn't find anything. But my theory is he's supposed to be Jack Black. They couldn't get Black. They got Gad. And then the rest is history.
There's a very... To me, it felt like a purely self-indulgent sequence at the ball scene where he's just singing with the band. And it feels like it was a thing of just like, I think I should sing in the movie. But that also kind of speaks to the Jack Black of it all, because that definitely could have been a scene written with Jack Black in mind.
I did read that that was added later, that he was only supposed to interact with the band and then he did start singing.
They found it on the day. They found it on the day.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This guy happens to be an amazing Broadway singer. This guy who's a video game nerd in the movie.
And a good rendition of the song, too. I will give good it rendition. It was song. A great, yeah. It was great rendition.
But they could have had Jane Krakowski, like, get up there and rock out. I mean, she's so amazing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Kind of wasted in this. I don't. So here's what I'll say. I'm watching this movie a second time. The first time I watched it, I remember being like, I don't think that was a good movie, but I didn't hate it, and there was some stuff that I liked. This time, as I was rewatching it, I think I even texted you at some point. Mm-hmm. Pixels is good, yeah. Because up until the set piece, the Pac-Man set piece. So what happens if you haven't seen this movie is that aliens. It's very much like derived from Contact. They sent out in 1982 a satellite that had video game footage within it. Aliens saw it, thought it was a declaration of war, so they're sending video game characters back to Earth to fight them in combat and conquer the planet. So, you know, Galaga attacks, then Centipede attacks. Eventually, there's a sequence where Pac-Man comes to Earth, and they have to battle him with minis that are using the Mini Coopers that are being the ghosts, Inky, Blinky, and Dot, and whatever. Anyway, that sequence, I think, is really good. And I think up until that, actually, the movie's pretty well-paced and mm-hmm. has some good, you know, some fun video game action. I do think the pixel effect they have, like, actually, like, sits in well and looks good.
Yeah.
And then there's some big laughs throughout. And then from that point on, like, right after that, they have, like, a celebration ball, and the rest of the movie just, like, kind of screeches to a halt and is just a real slog until they get to the Donkey Kong showdown at the end. So I kind of turn from being, like, this is good to going back to my original opinion of, like, this is maybe not the best movie, but it does have some fun stuff in it. And I think also as a video game movie, it pays off some video game IP pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think the Centipede stuff is good. I think the Donkey Kong mm-hmm. stuff is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It feels like two movies. I couldn't get past the fact that it feels like two movies, and there's like a great Sandler movie and an okay action movie. And I was bored. The more we spent with the action stuff, I was like, man, this should be like, this should be ringing all my bells. Mm-hmm. But all I want instead is for Sandler to insult a child for no reason. Like, that's like, the,
sure.
that's, like there's a point in like a kitchen scene when they're like, oh, we've all been fired and we don't have access to the light guns anymore. And we've got to do this on our own. And Sandler says something like, well, we're all going to die tomorrow, and that's just how it is. We're just going to die. And the rest of the room is like, Jesus. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm real scared. And I was like, that's the version of this I want to see, is like crazy shit's happening, and then there is also no straight man. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like there were too many people saying the right thing and doing the right thing. And I wish it had been a little bit crazier. That's all I got to say. That's it.
Another Sandler thing that made me laugh is there's a moment where Gad goes up. The Navy SEALs originally who's going to be trained to use the light guns to fight the video game characters. And then ultimately it turns out the guys who actually play the games are better at it. So there's a sequence where the arcade gamers the arcade champions are addressing the Navy SEALs, and Gad goes up and like freaks out on them. And then afterwards he's like, he says, Sandler, like, did I do good? And Sandler just says, you did awful. Like, that's funny.
I thought, so I was saying, this is not my favorite Sandler. I think he needed to split the difference somehow, because he's like his character is a former video game like tournament champion, right? Mm-hmm. He's unhappy with how his life turned out because he works at like a geek squad, but he was sort of playing him like he was like the coolest guy on Earth. Like, he was like being very like quippy with like Michelle Monaghan and like mm-hmm. Like flirting with her and stuff. And I was like, I think it would be better not if he was like a complete dorkwad like Gad, but I was like, I just didn't buy that he was supposed to be like a cool guy.
Well, he has natural charisma. That's part of it. Yes. And I think there's also an element of yeah, he's got this kind of job that he's embarrassed by, but also they need to try to make it semi plausible that this gorgeous woman would fall for him, which yes. is what the plot demands. So I guess that's maybe him kind of constrained by it, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that's the only issue with it, but yeah, it's definitely an issue.
I feel like it would have been stronger if he did like his life, and that it was more about like the Michelle, how do you say it? Monahan.
I thought it was
Michelle
Monahan's
character, like not taking nerds seriously, and that it's more about like her change, because you know there's nothing wrong with being a nerd, and I feel like nerds are like, you know, generally like they can be like pretty happy being nerds, and I thought that would have been a better structure, but
like us, right?
Yeah. Are you happy, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. yeah, but I also just generally felt like why is it felt a little too tropey in that like all the nerds are dudes and they get like these hot girls, you know,
sure.
and to kind of be like arm candy, or like Jane Krakowski's character kind of essentially was, or like Michelle Monaghan, or
there's Lady Lisa, who is the video game character come to life that Dad is obsessed with, played by Ashley Benson, who I don't think has a line in this movie.
But I want to advocate for, like, someone needs to make a movie about, like, girl nerds and like, you know, girl nerds getting the hot guys or girls, because it just felt like...
Heather's terrified.
I'm advocating for you, honey. You're a girl nerd. And... Well, Heather, are you happy?
Yes.
You better be. Anyway, I thought it was just a little too tropey. I thought, and you know, in terms of the sort of like gender tropes that you usually see.
It's definitely very Sandler like in that sense of, yeah, that's how women are used in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one was, I mean, super egregious because a woman is awarded to a man.
Yes. Right.
Like
literally
it's
called
like,
a trophy.
Yeah. So that's a little rough. But also in the coda to the film, like if you're going to shoot a button for an entire movie, it's got to be a good joke, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be like a killer joke. And instead, this was just a question. Like it was like it posed a question about existence.
Mm-hmm.
It did not make me laugh. It was like, oh, Josh Gad and the Lady Lisa they're married and they have kids, but the kids are all Q-berts. Which means that she's just a reskinned Q-bert, which means that he's fucking Q-bert.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's not played hard for laughs. It's not like, if you're going to tell that joke, show him in bed and they're like fucking. And then he she just starts making
turning
Q-bert
you back to
sounds.
Q-bert.
She glitches.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it is presented like, oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, there Sandler does have a line where he's just like, because so what happens is that it's the whole trophy thing is weird, because they're awarded like either earlier they're awarded the Duck Hunt dog, and then that just disappears, just like given to an old lady, and then they're awarded Q-bert, and Q-bert's just like is like a sidekick for a
Q-bert's
big part of the movie.
Q-bert's in the movie a lot.
He's a big character. He's a major character. And then
a character famous for not being able to speak is given tons of lines.
Yeah, more lines of dialogue than Jane Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski, nothing.
So, and then at the end of the movie, Lady Lisa it's just confusing the way that Lady Lisa is there. They then goes away, and then they're like, well, they turn Q-bert into Lady Lisa as like a reward for Gad. for defeating the aliens, or the aliens do it because he's defeated them. And then so it's Q-Bert. But Sandler does have a line at that point where when they start making out and he's like, she was just Q-Bert. Doesn't that bother anyone else? Which is like, that's funny. But yeah, they could have leaned on that more. I don't know. Can't say enough about
Serena Williams is in the movie.
Serena Williams.
Oh, yes.
And Martha Stewart. It's just like everything that stuff, like you're writing a script and you're just like, and then Serena Williams shows up and then whoever we get will be in there. And then it's like, no, they just got Serena Williams and Martha Stewart. They had enough money to just like make every ask happen.
Two great sports probably too, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
They must have paid these actors so much money to be in Pixels. Don't you think?
I would hope so.
Maybe they just showed them the short that it was based on, and everyone was kind of like, that's cool. That's going to be a full movie? Because the original short is cool. It's a French short film that's just a bunch of pixelated video game characters attacking New York City. And maybe they were like, oh, wow, this is going to be... That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. The idea is not bad. Like, it's like an interesting enough of an idea to, like, you know, warrant them making a movie of it. Like, it's like, I think overall the premise is good. Execution,
Yeah.
I had a problem with one of the things that the kid, so part of the, I don't know, the conceit of this movie is that nobody remembers these video games anymore. And so they have to hire these old time gamers in order to memorize the patterns of the games as they're attacking. It's like, oh, this is a unpublished version of Galaga that had the original patterns before that motherboard was scrapped and they reprogrammed it. It's like, oh, okay, great.
I like that.
But when Sandler is talking to a kid about modern games, he's watching the kid play The Last of Us because this is a Sony movie. And he's like, why is this enjoyable? And the kid is like, oh, you just have to pretend to be the guy and be really afraid that you're going to die. And that's how you play the game. And Sandler's like, so there's no patterns? And the guy's like, no. And it's like, that is just not true.
It's complete nonsense.
Only,
yeah.
The only way you can get through The Last of Us, especially on the higher difficulty levels, is memorizing everything. Like, it is the exact same muscle mechanic that old Pac-Man games have or Donkey Kong games. And so I was like, man, that kid doesn't know what he's talking about.
You stupid kid.
It has the Wreck-It Ralph problem of like, okay, it's at a certain point, if you know video games, you're like, okay, this was just not written by someone who plays video games. Mm-hmm. The writers and Chris Columbus, the director, just did not have like the kind of knowledge to be like, wait, that's a silly thing to say about Last of Us. And then the kid, like a 10-year-old kid in 2015, says, that's why you get the reset button. And it's just like, there's not a reset button on a fucking PS4. Like, it's just like, that's just not a thing that you don't think, kids wouldn't think in those terms.
Yeah.
So it's just they kind of have the broad strokes there, but it's not. It's just they miss in certain ways. I don't know. It's got some funny moments, but yeah, overall it's a kind of a fucking mess and largely self-indulgent and bloated. It's an hour and 40 minutes and it should be 80 minutes and then it would maybe be something. I don't know. I didn't mind watching the video game sequences though. And there's some funny Sandler stuff. It's not an abomination.
No. That's like they put some real work, like that design for the you know, alien video game monsters looks truly like unique and like very interesting. Like I liked looking at that. And then the effect on people, like when the Pac-Man creator's arm gets bitten off by Pac-Man and it like pixelates, like that, I don't know. I was like, that's
looks
really
awesome.
Cool. I really like that.
Looks great.
Yeah.
Or like there was that one part where they like crash into a car and the car becomes like semi-pixelated.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That was amazing. It looked great.
Yeah.
Though that
yeah,
same sequence also begs like maybe the largest philosophical question of the entire film, which is that Peter Dinklage, and this is, it's a spoiler.
I don't even feel like doing it.
We've already said that Gad fucks Q-Bert, which happens post-credits, so it's fine.
This movie didn't, I don't feel,
okay.
I don't feel the gusto that I usually feel.
Okay,
you can know everything about this movie and still enjoy it, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So Peter Dinklage cheats at Pac-Man What was that?
Huh?
What'd you say, Matt?
I said yeehaw, spoiler country. I was starting to feel it afterward.
Okay. Well, because that would get like a 4% spoiler country. I'm afraid to start talking.
No, I'm done. All I had was 4%. Yeah.
Okay. So Peter Dinklage cheats at Pac-Man when he's playing in real life in New York City by inputting a code that he keeps on the back of his sunglasses, which apparently he was able to do to Donkey Kong, input a code that doesn't exist. As far as I know, it just doesn't exist. But what he is then, so what we've learned about the real world is that it is programmable and that you can input a code into like a non-existent controller and your car will physically teleport in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the like, logic doesn't quite hold up.
If you pull at that thread, the world unravels. Like, I unravel.
He's Neo.
He's Neo.
He's
Dinklage
Neo.
Is Neo.
Oh, man, that'd be fucking
hot
awesome.
Neo.
Oh, excuse me.
I'd totally watch a Dinklage Matrix.
Something we didn't really touch on either is that his character, when they get him, he's in prison, and they have to get him out of prison. The president
that was my
like,
favorite part.
He's like, do they say why he was there? I don't remember why he's there.
He defrauded a bunch of people with a scam.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Like an online scam.
But it was such a good scam. It was... What was it? He added like an extra fee to, what was it?
It was
to people's
adding,
mobile bills.
Yeah, mobile bills. Yes. It was adding a small fee to everybody's
a small
mobile
fee
bill.
To everyone's that would scam me. That's such a good scam.
Yeah.
It was good.
They could have it as far as I'm concerned.
an interesting movie. I don't know. I guess I'm glad I rewatched it because it just sort of crystallized my thoughts about this. And there were some moments that I enjoyed. And
Nick, have you seen Sonic yet? Have you seen Sonic?
Sonic the Hedgehog?
The movie. Mm-hmm.
I see him every time I close my eyes.
What the hell? Fuck, dude?
Not the pregnant one.
Okay. No, actually, I didn't see it theatrically. I didn't end up watching it yet. I mean, I'm gonna watch it in advance of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 because I want to see that in theaters.
I really feel like your barometer for video game movies is going to change after you see Sonic, which is legitimately just good.
I really like Detective Pikachu. I think Detective Pikachu is maybe. One of the better video game movies. I
liked that movie too.
One of the best video game movies? Maybe the best video game movie? I don't know. It's
Sonic
Detective Pikachu's fucking great. I got to see Sonic, yeah.
Got to see it. I made Mary watch the trailer on our phones in a parking lot while we were at dinner.
She was like, wait, before we go inside, we need to watch something.
You got
to
see this.
Yeah, it was the Sonic. I haven't even seen the first one, but now I have seen the trailer for the second.
It's a good trailer. I pulled up the original French short that Pixels is... based off of. We can just play a little bit of this real quick. Here we go.
Wow!
Dunkachino!
Don't mind if I do!
Yes! Dunkachino!
Creamy goodness, I'm your friend. Say hello to my
The thing about it is, too, that the jokes in it are good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
So are the dancers.
I know it was you.
Yeah. The fact that they haven't done this, like a remake of it for a Super Bowl commercial, is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
They're leaving money on the table.
God.
Ever since Heather pointed out this one part in that, it's the funniest thing to me in the world when he says.
I know what you're going to say.
It's not Al anymore. And then he pounds his chest. It's Dunk.
And he says it so loud that you hear it echo off of the set.
Ah, it's so fucking good. Any more thoughts on Pixels before we move on?
It's not funnier than Dunkachino, but it has some good stuff in it.
No.
Like, as a whole, it's not better than that one scene.
Sure, that's fair.
Dunkachino is one of the best pieces of comedy crafted by man.
Yeah, perfect sketch.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that was The Game Was Better, Pixels. Now it's time for a trip down memory card lane. As our own Heather Ann Campbell shows and tells an item from her retro games collection, it's another edition of Heather's Hole.
Hey, welcome to Heather's Hole. I've got something in here that I thought I'd share with you guys. Here from, I pulled it out of my hole.
So I was cleaning my office the other day. Mary's never been here for that bit. And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh no.
No, it's a lot. It's a
engagement
lot.
Off.
Yeah.
So I was, I thought this was thematically relevant for the Pixels episode because I was cleaning out my office the other day and I came across an issue of Captain N, the Game Master,
wow.
The comic book. And Captain N was a 1980s through 1991 Saturday morning cartoon that featured a ton of different Nintendo properties all combined into a single storyline. And I've got a clip here, Matt, that you can just play, which I guess it isn't a clip. It's just the episode. It's the first episode of Captain N. But why don't you play it so we can all familiarize ourselves with it for a moment.
Welcome to Video Land.
Mega High.
Aww. Wake up, Kid Icarus.
Welcome to Castlevania.
So it's a montage of all of these different Nintendo characters existing simultaneously.
Wow. I haven't even seen this and it makes me feel nostalgic.
Yeah, that style of animation.
Yeah.
I watched this as a kid and the thing I remember is just Mega Man looked like shit. Like he just looks so little like the actual Mega Man.
It's about a kid from our world who gets sucked into video land and becomes a video game character and then goes on adventures with Simon Belmont from Castlevania, Mega Man, Kid Icarus. I think Metroid, the Mother Brain, is one of the main villains. The Eggplant Wizard is one of the main villains. So I found this issue of Captain N. And I'll be honest. Shocked at the quality of full color art throughout the entire issue of this comic. That being said, I thought there's no way. Oh, there's an ad for Ghostbusters 2, the Nintendo game.
Wow.
The Three Stooges, the Nintendo game.
I owned it.
There's also Robot Fighter. Magnus Robot Fighter has an ad in here. And the back cover is Bigfoot.
I remember
the
Bigfoot.
Monster truck.
Yeah.
Just an ad for Bigfoot, the monster truck, the video game by Acclaim, you know, no longer a video game company. So I assumed of the things in my collection, this is probably one of those things that has not accrued in value. I was like, this is going to be like a $3 comic. At most, like double the cover price. This fucking comic is going for $150 on eBay.
Wow,
this issue, issue 3, a random fucking issue of Captain N. Like, what the fuck is happening to commodities, guys? Who is spending?
Our joke in our house is that if Heather and I both lose our jobs, that we're going to be set for life just by slowly selling off her like video game collection and sort of like retro PCs and everything piece by piece by piece by piece. Don't, please don't rob us, listeners. It's our retirement.
What happens in this issue?
All right. Well, I'm going to read a little bit where Captain N explains how his powers work. As cool as my zapper is, though, when I really want to go, I reach for my super power belt. He's got a Nintendo controller fastened to his belt. By pushing up or down on the controller, I get power-assisted jumps, almost like flying. Pressing left or right on the controller makes me shift at super speed. I can dodge anything, especially someone slow and dumb like the Eggplant Wizard. If he presses pause, it freezes everything, except him, of course. And since he's free to move around, he can use the power belt's other cool features to turn the tables and, uh-oh, he forgot that his power belt only holds a limited supply of energy. When the power meter reaches zero, dead batteries. No more powers, no more zapper, and maybe no more me.
Whoa.
Dark.
But he uses a Nintendo zapper as a gun.
Yes, I remember that.
And then his belt gives him, like, basically Peter Dinklage's powers in pixels.
To hack the world.
There's also an excellent full page ad for Nintendo Power, like a subscription page where you cut out the little thing and mail it in so that you can join Team Power.
Cool.
It's a pretty nice, robust little comic.
And it looks like it's in very good condition. You took very good care of it.
Well, that's because I didn't even fucking know I had it. Like, I probably got it from like a thrift store for 25 cents. And I was like, video games. I don't have any other issues of Captain N. Like, yeah. And I didn't even know that I had Captain N until I recently decided to cardboard back and polybag all of my actual comics. So I pulled everything out of my bookshelves and sealed it up nice because I was like, you know, everything is becoming so fucking expensive. I probably have something worth something in here. And then as a joke was going to, when I did Heather's Hole today, be like, but unlike, say, my copy of Final Fantasy VI for the Super Nintendo, Captain N is retailing for $1.95. Like, that was going to be my punchline. Right. But instead, it's, who the fuck is paying $150 for this?
Yeah,
like, I'm bidding on it right now. I was going to say, this is one of those things that you look back at, and it's just like, it's amazing that anyone was able to corral these IP rights at any point. Because the idea now that you would make something, I mean, I guess Pixels is kind of this. It's got different, it's a Sony film that's got a different, got a Nintendo characters and other properties. But just like, this had Nintendo characters, like first party characters, Capcom characters, Konami characters. There was, I was skimming the Wikipedia page and like, Dragon Quest characters, a completely different publisher, showed up as villains. So it's like, it's just, I don't know. How do they fucking, I guess this is probably the point where just people are like, video games, fucking whatever. Yeah, we'll let him do it. Give us $50,000.
Kingdom Hearts kind of like that, though, where there's like characters from a lot of different universes.
Well, that's at least like,
also, I'm just like parroting what Heather has said to me, so I don't fucking know anything about Kingdom Hearts. I'm surprised I even remember name Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, Metal, tuck your ear off. That's a good point. That one at least is just like, it's just Capcom, or I'm sorry, not Capcom, it's just Square Enix and Disney. It's just two companies, really. So I get a little bit more.
There's some kind of weird rights thing happening very subtly in Kingdom Hearts because they slowly like take away the Final Fantasy characters. So by Kingdom Hearts 3, none of those dudes are there anymore. Like, you don't run into Cloud or Sephiroth or anybody. It's just the Kingdom Hearts cast and the Disney characters, which I don't know why that's happening, but it feels like it's got to be like an IP reason, right? You know what I'm saying?
It's a little strange, yeah.
It's a little strange. Guys,
Matt, has this explained it all in like the N-Gage exclusive game?
Yeah,
it was never translated to English.
May unpack why, that like Cloud and the Moogles are like no longer around. Yeah.
And it's all canon. Got it.
It's all canon, and but it takes 20 hours. You gotta get to it. Yeah.
I'd like to read read real quick the list of IP that is present in Captain N. The Adventures of Bayou Billy, BoJackson Baseball, Burger Time, California Games, Castlevania, Donkey Kong, Dragon Warrior, Fazanadu, Final Fantasy.
Faxanadu, I played that.
Jordan versus Bird 1-on-1, Kid Icarus, Marble Madness, Mega Man, Metroid, Nemesis, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Paperboy, Puss in Boots, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves,
what?
Solar Striker, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, Wizards and Warriors, The Legend of Zelda, and Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. Like,
wow. Kind of amazing.
How? Like, it must have been a universal rights negotiator. Like, anything that appears on a Nintendo, you have access to.
I guess so, yeah. And then they just were like, whatever. We'll make it a kid's cartoon. That'll help sell games. We don't care. Faxanadu, that's just this. I hadn't thought about that game in forever. I finished that game as a kid. It's kind of an early sort of Metroidvania in my memory, but it is just like a 2D side-scroller with whether you're battling bosses and it's in a fantasy world and you upgrade your character, buy items and shit. I remember it being pretty good, but who knows? Maybe I was a dumb kid. Maybe it sucks. I also played the Three Stooges game.
I played Paperboy a lot when I was young. My brother and I played that one a lot, and you just ride down streets and avoid potholes and try to throw papers into people's front yards and mailboxes, but we would play it our own version where we would try to, you would have to press like the go button and not let it go and try to see, you know, how many papers you could deliver, which was like hard mode. It was a fun game.
Well, hey, that was... That was Heather's hole.
You're now exiting Heather's hole.
Oh, my God. Yikes.
Mary Laws, thank you so much for being with us. Anything you would like to plug?
No, I'm a fucking Hollywood douchebag. I just have projects in development right now. So, no, I don't want to plug anything. I want to plug Heather's hole. Wait, no, that's not a... No, I didn't mean it like
Christ.
That.
Jesus.
Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Heather's mom. Heather's mom listens to all of these. Sorry, Gail. I love you, Gail.
We love you, Gail. That's this week's Get Played. Follow us on social media at Get Played Pod. Our music and engineering are by Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGab. And next week's episode, reminder, is this month's We Play, You Play on Elden Ring. So slide into our DMs, send us emails and voicemails about Elden Ring, your reviews, or even if you just have like a story about something that happened to you in the game, we might use them on the show. Matt, you have the email and phone number for people?
Yes, Nick. The email is getplayedpod@gmail.com, and the phone number is 6162PLAYED. That's 616-275-2933.
Rattled that off the dome like it was nothing.
Yeah, easy. It's my real phone number. That's why I remember it. thank you. Thanks, Mary. I hate to be the one to do this to you. I'm really, really sorry, but you got played. I'm so sorry.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
Damn. Slam. You just lost a listener.